And I'm going to put all the lines on mute, so just to let us make the recording a little bit clearer for everyone who's going to listen to the replay. And I want to appreciate everyone who called in tonight and welcome you to the Man Code Club coaching call. If this is your first time on the call, just to introduce myself again, my name is Matt Boggs, and I want to officially welcome you. And what I like to do is start these calls with a little relaxation, just so we can shake off the day and bring ourselves present to this moment, because you have a lot of ways that you can be spending your time tonight. And you're choosing to spend it here with us in this fantastic community, in this loving and support. The intention that we are really opening ourselves up to expressing and expanding the love in our lives. So if it is safe to do so, if you're not on the road driving, I invite you to let your eyes close and take a deep breath, filling your lungs with air, with life, and exhale. Okay, and that was just one. That's just a warm-up. Breath. What I want you to imagine is any stress, any source of worry that might be holding on to any parts of your body. You know, put your mind onto those places of worry. You might carry worry in your stomach. You might carry it in your chest. You might hold it in your shoulders. Consciously bring your mind to the areas of your body that actually hang on to worry and stress. And then on this next breath, when I tell us to breathe in, I want you to imagine that that breath is traveling into your body, reaching those areas, swooping in, scooping up that worry, and it exhales with your out breath. Okay, so go ahead and take a deep breath in. Exhale. And on this final deep breath, I want you to imagine that there is a sense of peace and knowingness, deep knowingness that you are in the right place, that you are on your perfect path of unfoldment, and that everything's going to be okay. And we lift our perspective 30,000 feet into the air, and we can see our lives. We can see 5 years behind us. We can see 5 years in front of us. And we know that we are at the perfect juncture in our journey. And so, and with this breath, we can relax, that nothing else needs to get done, that you have found your spot right here. And you can relax into that knowingness. Go ahead and take a deep breath. Okay. As we bring our awareness and our full presence to this call, I invite you to open your eyes if they're not already open and wiggle your toes. Bring your attention down to your toes and ground yourself. And I want to again say welcome to this call. And tonight what I'm going to do is we're going to open up. I'm going to share with you a life-changing lesson that I learned from one of my friends and mentors, Dr. Cherie Carter Scott, about how we create results in our lives. And then we're going to open up the lines and we will do some live Q&A, some laser coaching and some guidance. So what I'm going to do now is we're going to open up the Q&A queue. So if you have a question that you know that you want to get answered tonight, go ahead and hit *6. That will move you into the Q&A portal. And so as we're doing that, I'm letting people get into the Q&A portal. The lesson is tonight, and the way – so I was sitting in this seminar and listening to all these great speakers, and then Dr. Cherie Carter Scott gets on the stage, and she says, tonight I'm going to share with you why smart people do stupid things. Everybody started laughing. Smart, she goes, this room is filled with a bunch of smart people, is it not? And we're all like, yes, you know. And she's like, okay, has anyone here ever done something stupid? And we all raise our hands and we say, yes. And I am the king of doing, quote unquote, you know, without judgment here, stupid things. You know, I can remember being on the search for America's Greatest Marriages with Jason, one of my best friends and co-author of that book, Project Everlasting. And as we interview, we spend all day interviewing these fantastic couples. And to be able to use their interviews, we have to have them sign these hefty release forms. And after all day, 5 hours of interviews, we are about 2 hours away from the place where we interviewed all those couples. And Jason says to me, hey, Matt, can you reach in the back seat and grab that manila envelope with all of those release forms? And instantly my heart sinks because I know those release forms are not in the back seat. They are still in the interview room where I accidentally left them. And this was just one of many times that I had forgotten something important. We had to turn around and go back 2 hours to this place. And so I, you know, definitely put my hand up and said, yes, I feel like I'm a smart guy and sometimes I do stupid things. And she goes, okay, well, here's the formula. She goes, and she actually told a story about how she went to the grocery store. This woman has a PhD, best-selling author. She went to the grocery store one day, got out, went in, got her groceries, came back to the car, realized she had locked her keys in her car. Not only that, but then she notices the hum of the car. And she had locked her keys in her car, and the car was running. And so there she is with a cart full of groceries, and her car is running with the keys on inside, fully locked. So she had to call the AAA. AAA comes out, and you can imagine this big, burly AAA guy, you know, climb out of his truck and come down and sees this, you know, petite little blonde-haired woman, PhD, all buttoned up, you know, in her business suit with a cart full of groceries. And he's like, oh, so you locked your keys in your car? And then he listens a little closely. Oh, and the car is running. Okay. And she said that in that moment, she had a decision. Now, most people go to beating themselves up in that moment. Well, what happens is we have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. In your subconscious mind, that's where your self-image is. Your self-image is how you see yourself. This is what you believe is possible about for yourself. It's what you believe you're capable of. It's how much love you feel you deserve, how much success you expect out of yourself. It's the result that you expect you're going to get. It's like a thermostat. If you're wondering what your hidden self-image is, just look around your life, because the results that we have in our life are always in direct harmony with our self-image. Okay? It's our results and our self-image always line up. And I'll give you, you know, a quick example is a woman who's single, has been single for a long time. Her self-image is, I don't deserve to have someone that I really like because I don't think he's going to like me. So that's her self-image, is that I don't deserve to have anyone that I would really like. And so all of a sudden she meets a guy and he really likes her. And because he really likes her, at the beginning, she's okay. And she, you know, she goes on a date with him. She's feeling this out. But then something happens. And this is like this little trigger that goes off in our subconscious mind. And her internal subconscious mind starts talking to you, or starts talking to her, rather, and says, hey, there must be something wrong with this guy. If he really likes you, there must be something screwed up with him. And so she starts second-guessing him. She starts pulling away. She starts shutting down. And because she's second-guessing, pulling away, and shutting down, now he's starting to lose interest in her, and it dissolves the relationship. Her results then confirm that, yes, see, no one, you know, see, this guy took off again, and this was a great guy, you found out later. So see, great guys don't really like you. It just confirms her belief. Well, our subconscious mind, so it's always in harmony with our self-image, what we believe we're worth, what we accept into our life. It's like this, it's like if, you know, some of us have read and understand that we live in an infinite universe, in an abundant universe. But the subconscious mind is like a funnel. It chokes down the good that we allow to flow in and through our lives. And so with the why smart people do stupid things, she goes, here's what happens. We will replicate the behavior. Your subconscious mind can't make a distinction between positive attention and negative attention. So it will replicate behaviors. It will replicate results. It will replicate circumstances in your life that generate the loudest amount of attention that you give yourself. So if most of us, and you can imagine attention being like a volume meter. Remember those old shows where the audience would have to applaud as loud as they could, like for, you know, someone on stage, and the volume meter would go from green to orange to red. And it's like that. That's our subconscious attention meter. Well, when we make a mistake, most of us have been programmed to beat ourselves up. And we dwell on it, and we rehearse it, nurse it, and curse it in our minds. We'll say, why did I do that? I'm smarter than that, da 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 da. And we give ourselves a huge amount of attention when we screw up and do something like forget the release forms or lock the keys in the car or, you know, be not ourselves on a date. Right? When we feel like, gosh, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Da, da, da. And we'll beat ourselves up. Instead of when things go really well, most of us have been programmed to, maybe I shouldn't say most, some of us have been programmed to minimize. We minimize our mistakes because, you know, we've been taught that if you boast about your, I'm sorry, minimize our successes. About your successes, that's conceited. You know, no one likes a bragger. You know, all of that programming we get when we're little kids. So therein lies the challenge, that when we do something really well, we tend to minimize it. And we say, well, you know, oh, that was no big deal. And I kind of expected that of myself. And boom, we're on to the next thing. And if we do something that we don't like, we give ourselves a huge amount of attention around it. And because that volume of attention is so big, mind latches onto. And your subconscious mind will create circumstances that replicate those that experience, that will replicate the times when you will give yourself the biggest attention. So the practice for this week, okay, is to celebrate internally, emotionally, celebrate when you have a win. When you have a win in business, when you have a win in self-esteem, celebrate that. When you have a win with a man, when you flirt and you get a smile out of a guy and it's fun and it's sexy and it's there's some sexual tension there and maybe he didn't ask for your number, but you know, but you did a great job flirting, celebrate that inside and extend the celebration, extend the internal standing ovation. And then when you have a mistake, let it be water off a duck's back. Minimize it. Don't dwell on it. Now, I'm not saying don't learn from your mistakes, but most of us, you know, the berating goes way beyond the learning. So it might feel really awkward at first. And my great fear was, well, if I don't beat myself up, I'm going to do it again. And so taking on this practice, the results have been phenomenal. My ability. So what I would do is when I would remember something, right? When I would remember my keys or when I would remember to plug in the documentary film camera battery, which was another one. This battery would always be dead when we were filming the documentary film. So I'd remember to plug it in. I would celebrate that and say internally, say, good job, man. Way to go, way to go, way to go. And then the next time I went to go plug it in, I would remember to plug in the battery. So and the same thing happens in love. You know, celebrate the times. If you're online dating and a guy reaches out to you, who cares if he's not, you know, a 10 on your scale? Celebrate the fact that most of the people reached out to you. I know a lot of women who beat themselves up when guys reach out to them because they might not be of the quality that they want. You know, celebrate that versus beating yourself up, and your mind is going to orchestrate the events in your life so that you're experiencing more of what you're celebrating. You know, simplified to a significant degree is where our attention flows, energy goes. And so if you pour a lot of your attention on the things that you're doing well, you'll start to notice those things replicate and minimize the things that the mistakes and the ways that we beat ourselves up. So we've got a few questions, so we're going to pause right there, and we're going to go ahead and open the lines for some Q&A questions here. So we have someone in the 818. Your line is open. Go ahead and tell me your name and where you're calling in from.
My name is May, and I'm calling from Los Angeles.
All right, May, what is your question?
I have a two-part question. I've been in a relationship for almost a year, and he has a habit of he doesn't handle his anger really well if he's mad at me, and so he'll lash out at me, not physically, but he'll get a little nasty. I don't know. He'll get a little nasty. So my question is, A, is this something that I should work on? Because I feel like I've done a lot of work. And B, I'm about to go talk to him now. And how can I ask for what I need and still stay in my feminine side?
Brilliant question. Thank you for asking that. I'm sure this is going to be a big help for a lot of people. Number one, you're not responsible for how he's acting. So, you know, the first thing that I'll say is you're in charge of making sure that you put yourself in a healthy environment, okay? Mm-hmm. And we teach people how to treat us by the treatment that we're willing to tolerate.
Yeah.
Case in point, one time I was joking, my fiance and I come from very different cultures. And sometimes that gets us in trouble. And I was having some fun one night, and I was joking around. We were walking out of this restaurant, and I kicked her in the butt. And she was not happy. She's normally a very jokey, fun, goofy person. But that was crossing the line for her. It would not have been crossing a line in another relationship. But for her, that was crossing the line. And she turned around very seriously and said, she said, I am not going to accept that kind of treatment. And the whole mood shifted. I got defensive. And I was like, but ultimately, she said, this is not okay with me. Okay, so the first thing that I want to mention, and so just to kind of close that story, I've never treated her that way since because I didn't know where that line was. So it was up to her to tell me where the line is. So if he is treating you with, you know, vulgar language, rude language, abusive language, you need to be responsible for the boundaries that you're willing to set and keep.
Yeah.
And as you tolerate that behavior, you're teaching him it's okay to do that with you. Secondly, so there's a couple ways to then approach the conversation. You know, it sounds like he needs some skills in fair fighting.
Yeah.
So when things are good, I would invite, you know, when he's in a positive mood, I would invite you to explore that with him. And you can, and so here's some great framework. And I learned this from Dr. Pat Allen. She has some really good languaging around this. But basically saying, hey, you have every right to use that kind of language. I can't tell you that you can't use that kind of language. But when you use that language, here's how I feel. And I don't like it. It doesn't. And if it's a healthy relationship, he's going to adjust to give you a positive experience. If he doesn't adjust, there's something much deeper going on that you'll want to look at. Simply by stating how it makes you feel and that you would like things to shift would cause any healthy man to adjust his behavior. Okay? So
okay.
tonight, what you can do to help set the stage. What's your conversation going to be like with him tonight? Is it kind of a come to Jesus conversation, or what do you guys? Is it just a hangout night?
Well, we got into a huge fight last night, and I basically came home to like a very hostile and cold environment where he said, you know, where's my rent money? And, you know, please do the dishes. And before that, we had had another fight, and I'm just trying to even get a handle on the situation, period. Whether or not I can get past all of this.
All of this meaning the style of communication or the circumstances that you guys have been facing together?
Well, you know, I'm not perfect either. And he's asked me for some things, and I'm willing to talk about, you know, giving him what he needs. But I think it's about the style of communication, because the issues, I don't think, are that big of a deal.
Okay. So here's a couple suggestions without going into it. It sounds like, depending on how great the conflict is and how deep it runs, that you might want, you know, you might want some counseling. Depends on how are you. Sounds like you're dating this guy. You guys are living together.
Yeah, I've moved in the last few months.
Okay. You might want some counseling just to work out and iron out some of these conflict points. And to help get some real great communication skill sets. I mean, it can shift the way in which you connect and deal with conflict night and day. Just to get some agreements between the two of you, how you're going to fight, how you're going to deal with conflict together. But one thing that works miracles, okay, and you can use this tonight right now, is to pre-frame the conversation with him and set him up to win. And how you do that is, before you launch into whatever you're going to talk about, you warn him, basically. Because remember, we have different apartments. You know, he might be in his sports center apartment. He might be in his work apartment and kind of dealing with whatever stresses he has going on. So
he's,
I would
90% of the time in his work apartment.
Okay, so there you go. So here's what you can say. You can say, honey, I have something that is really important to me that I would love to talk to you about, and it's actually kind of vulnerable. I'm going to need to get a little bit vulnerable to share this with you. Is now a good time?
Mm-hmm.
Let him – don't tell him that now is a good time. Ask him if now is a good time, and then he'll say yes or no. If he says no, said when before the night ends would be a good time. I would really like to talk about this tonight. Let him give you a time, okay? Then when you're going to have the conversation with him, even if it's right then, say, okay, say, I'm going to share something with you that I'm a little nervous to share, and I'm going to be vulnerable here, so I want you to know I'm going to be really open and sensitive, and what I would really love, and you set the intention for the outcome that you want to see. So you say, I would really love is for you just to be open and don't get defensive, because this is not about, you know, attacking you. This is really about us and me and how we can connect better. I would really love for you just to hear me without getting defensive so that we can connect in a positive way. And then you're giving him a goal, essentially. So you're working with his dopamine. And so a man who wants to please you will prepare himself to hear something that might sound like he's not doing a good job, which is the worst thing a man can hear. But because you're setting him up saying that by hearing how you're not doing a good job, you're going to do a good job,
uh-huh.
he will leapfrog. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
He'll leap, He'll leapfrog the, okay, I'm okay with not doing a good job because now I'm doing a good job by hearing that I'm not doing a good job. And so you set him up to win. Let him know
so
you're going
to
give.
Repeat that for me. I would love for you to
say, I'm gonna share something with you which is difficult for me to share. I'm going to get really vulnerable. I'm going to expose my heart. So what I would love for you is just to hear me, you know, and know that my heart is exposed. And so I don't want you to get defensive. I just want you to hear me because ultimately this is an effort to connect with you deeper. Would you be willing to, do that?
Okay.
And get him to agree, get him to choose in.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, May. Good luck. Let me know how it goes, okay?
Thanks a lot.
You got it, May.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and take the next caller here. Man Code Club member. All right, go ahead and say your name and where you're calling in from.
Hey there, my name's Jill, and I'm calling in from the LA area.
Hey, Jill.
Hello. So my question is, so I've been doing a lot of this work recently and focusing on, like, manifestation and all that great stuff. And I've completely manifested this amazing, amazing man. And, like, literally a month earlier. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, it's really exciting. And, like, literally a month earlier, I, like, wrote the whole ideal scene and, you know, how I'm showing up as my authentic self and I'm in feminine and receiving. And literally, like, today I reread it and I was like, wow, like, it's there. And what's coming forward now is, like in your story earlier, I'm noticing and celebrating all of my successes and wins. Like, even this morning, I'm like, oh, should I call him? No, it's coming from scarcity. Wait, an hour later, he's like, hey, let me rearrange my whole day and see you tonight. You know, I'm like, this is great.
Oh,
and,
nicely done. Nicely done.
Yeah, like, I'm doing everything that, you know, all the, like, mid-experts are saying. And the thing I'm getting into, maybe you can help me on this, is the it's very present, the limiting belief of, like, oh, my gosh, I might not be good at relationships. Like, that's a limiting belief because up until now, I just really haven't had the right guy. Therefore, the relationships haven't been great. But, like, now he's here, this guy that I really want. Like, our first date was one of those nights where you're like, oh, my God, we're compatible, like, on every level. You know, sometimes you walk away like, oh, it's this but not that. Like, every core belief and value align. And, like, I know he's spiritual and we're showing up the same way, but I don't want to I still have my, like, baseline of, like, default behaviors that don't necessarily serve. And as I'm learning and practicing new ways of being, how do I integrate those in a really natural, authentic way?
Beautiful. Beautiful.
That's the question.
It's a very high conscious question. You know, knowing ultimately what you're stating is that you have a choice in any given circumstance to behave and be the person that you want to be.
Yes.
And that there's, you know, and I'm glad you brought up the point that now that you're in this, so you've done this great work, you've put yourself in this fantastic vibration, this fantastic state of beingness, you know, we call it your optimum state. You've attracted this great man who's in alignment with your values. And I trust that he's handsome, he's sexy, he's fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nice. So, and then all of a sudden there's this voice that creeps in that starts saying, what if you're not good at relationships? And it starts to nag at you, right?
Yeah, it's kind of that voice. And I want to be like, shut up. And
right.
at the same time, I'm like, I've done the work of, like, let's, you know, limiting belief, this isn't true, I know it's not true, what's the turnaround? Like, and I'm like, what am I missing to really make that sink in at a deep level, not an intellectual level?
Okay, perfect. So here's how this works. And this is a perfect question, actually, segueing from, we talked about self-image, okay?
Uh-huh.
Well, your self-image, your current self-image, and before you haven't attracted the man that you wanted to go the distance with, I imagine. Am I accurate in saying that? Okay.
Completely. So, therefore, I wasn't showing up because I didn't want him anyways. I was
there
scared.
You go.
I was like, oh, I don't want this guy. How do I make him run off?
So our self-image, we'll call that X, Okay, it's just status quo. We're just going to call it X. I learned this from Bob Proctor, one of my mentors, and he calls it the XY factor. So I'm borrowing this from him. I always like to give credit where I'm learning these things. And it's just brilliant. X is our current belief system. Well, then what happens is we want something more. We want something different. We want that relationship in our life, or we want that business, you know, whatever it is. So we get this different idea. And we'll call that Y, just, you know, X was something different than X. We call it Y. Now, X, what happens is we bring that Y idea into our mind. And then usually X is kind of like this negative being, this negative person, because if we bring Y into our subconscious mind, into our self-image, and our life changes, then X changes, right?
Wait,
if you bring a new level of self-awareness, if you bring a new self-image in and your whole life changes, then that old belief that you're no good at relationships has to change, because you have all of this evidence that you have this man, you're married, and you are good at relationships, right?
Yeah, I'm not married. You said I'm married.
No, you will be married. Like, I'm just saying, one day when you get married, or if you have this great relationship, you have evidence in your life that you are great at relationships. Therefore, you can no longer have the belief that you're not good at relationships.
Correct.
So that's
not the belief right now. Yeah, then the old belief goes by. But right now I'm like a week into this being like, X is still stronger than Y, and I want Y to become stronger.
Exactly. So let me explain how X will work at you. Okay.
Okay.
So, and we all have it. So this is pertinent for everybody on the call right now. What happens is X does not want to change, because it equates change with death.
Got it. This is ego thinking.
That's very, very important to know. So it will fight tooth and nail to keep your life the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it first shows up as dissuasion. It will try to talk you out of what it is that you want to do. For some people, it will try to talk you out of online dating. It will try to talk you out of going out with your girlfriends because you're tired, or you don't have the right clothes, or you haven't had your hair done, or you need the facial first, or whatever it is, right? It will try to talk you out of going out. So it tries to dissuade you. The second thing that it tries to do, and you keep bringing this Y idea in, the second thing that it tries to do is it tries to distract you.
Okay.
You know, at the last second, right before you're going to go out, you get a phone call that, oh, you know what, I really need to go and be with my friend. She's really sad right now, and I just really need to go and be with her and be inside and, like, comfort her. Or right before you're going to do your online profile, you know, all of a sudden the laundry becomes really important. Or you're wondering what, you know, you need to return some emails. It will try to distract you from moving your life forward. The third level, let's say you're going to stick with it. So you've gone through both of those levels. The third level is what I call DEFCON 3. I call these the 3 Ds, dissuasion, distraction, DEFCON 3.
DEFCON 3? Because I'm there. I've done the online thing. We've attracted this man. I'm going out. I'm excited about it. I guess the limiting belief is like, I'm not good at it. I can't sabotage this. Like, but I just want to be me, because I know when I'm me, it's all going to be great.
Right. So DEFCON 3 is where your X factor is right now. It raises, like, it feels like, oh my God, life is about to change. Like, this guy is on your phone.
Yeah.
This guy is in your living room. Like, this could.
Yeah,
this
like,
is,
this is total girl thinking. Like, I text my best friend being like, I either met my husband this weekend, and or if not him, I know the exact, like, he represents exactly who I want. Like, I'm in my ideal scene. I don't know if it's him yet. Granted, it was 4 hours, but I am very clear that this is how I want to feel, and this type of guy would be my match.
So your X factor, in the presence of this imminent change, raises its ugly head, comes storming out of its cave, and goes to your autonomic nervous system and flips, because it thinks it's going to die, so it flips your fight or flight triggers, and we go to fear, anxiety, and worry.
Yeah, my freaking amygdala was firing 2 nights ago.
So what I love about this is as we – it's like shining a light into a dark corner. You
okay,
know,
it's like I'm literally – like if I could see my brain though, like when the amygdala freaking goes on fight or flight mode and is like fear, I could be like, yo, 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 amygdala, it's okay, like – shine the light on it.
Well, most people interpret that is they're heading in the wrong direction. Something's wrong here. And so they will start to act weird. They'll start to clam up rather than, and here's the practice, and this is what it all comes down to, okay, is to notice what you're noticing. It's called metacognition, is you raise yourself, basically raise your consciousness to become aware of your state. And as you notice, you say, wow, and the affirmation is, or the catchphrase is, isn't that interesting? I'm in total fear right now. And then you look at it. Why am I in fear? And you say, wow, this X factor is really working overdrive right now. And it's wanting to keep my life the same. Mm. It's wanting to keep my life small. It's wanting to keep me single. Mm-hmm. And so in the presence of awareness, you can make a choice. Mm. And you can choose to step into that fear or, you know, back down, or you can choose to step forward. And we call that going through the terror barrier, right? You just got to step through it and act, you know, say, what would the highest version of me do here? What would the highest version of me do here? You know what? I'd be totally open and vulnerable. And I tell him I'm nervous right now, you know.
Oh, and that's the second question, because then all the limiting beliefs pop up. Like, I already know, like, even our second night on the phone, he said, you know, and you could call me, like, you know, it was great talking tonight, feel free to call me. And when he said that, it was like, ding, 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 like, that defies every single rule, let a man call. But I was like, no, Jill, that's not a rule when you have two people not playing games. He's saying, be human, like, I like you, you're into me. I told you on the first date if I wasn't into you, I'd let you know. Where it's like, I need to get rid of all the stupid dating games with the players who weren't looking for anything, and now come from the place of like, of course I could call him sometimes. Like,
so yeah, I love that. Just being normal, being real. If your friend said, hey, you can call me, call her, right? Call him.
It's like, but he also wants to know I'm interested, but don't pursue it. Like this morning, I didn't call, I didn't text anything. Like, I'm still letting him make the initiative. Like, tell me if I'm spot on. I'm doing a check-in. Like, if I'm coming from a place of scarcity and grasping, like, oh, no, then I'm like, dude, not the right time to call. But if it's authentic and it really is how I respond with a friend, like, for example, he had some big day yesterday, and I was like, hey, just thinking of you, you know, the kids are really lucky to get to spend the day with you. And he wrote back in a second, being like, oh, so sweet, thanks. But it was coming from a really authentic space, so I think he got that energy.
Jill, that's everything. And I think a lot of times people don't focus enough on, it's not what you say, it's the space you're in when you say it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not the text, it's the space you're in. You're in this place of abundance and groundedness and like, hey, I've got it. I'm coming from the space of love and not scarcity. And I will say that in the midst of all that, oftentimes what women want to do is they want to progress the relationship emotionally because they're coming from a place of scarcity.
Yeah, and you hit it on the head. Normally I don't want it, but now it's the first time in like 9 years that I am like, oh my gosh, I like him. And I'm like, so, well, slow down, Jill.
Perfect. So take some deep breaths. Let him progress. You control the sexual.
Wait, you cut out. Matt, you're cutting out.
I said, let him control the emotional pace. You control the sexual pace.
Oh, beautifully said. Oh, my God. That was perfect.
Okay.
I needed that reminder. Perfect.
Let him say, I love you. Let him say, I want to be committed to you, even though you might know 100%. Let him do the emotional thing just because he's not, and maybe he is, but most men are not as emotionally tapped in as their female counterpart will be.
I completely hear you. That's the best advice. Like, Marnie's doing some dating thing. Oh, there's a plug for Marnie. Marnie's doing a dating night. Go to Dating with Dignity. But Marnie's doing some dating thing next week. And literally, I'm like, with a friend, we're going. Because I was like, you know, I don't want to get so head over heels over this guy so quick. Like, I need to be in my person. Like, a week ago, I never even know who he was. Like, be me. Have fun. Let him progress it. I could still go out, learn things, have fun. It's not like we're boyfriend and girlfriend a week into this. So it's like, I'm consciously reminding myself. But it's like I'm taking contrary action that doesn't actually feel natural, but I'm trusting that that will serve me in the long run.
Beautiful, beautiful. Nice. And I love Marnie. We actually just got off a call together, so she's great.
She's wonderful. Well, that helped me so much. I control the sexual boundaries and keep that at what feels comfortable. Let him control the emotional boundaries, and we'll meet in the middle if this is for the highest good of all of us, and or it's a beautiful lesson.
Nicely done, Jill.
Oh, you're the best. Thank you.
All All right, take care. Okay, we're going to go ahead and take another caller here. Okay, your line is open. Go ahead and tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Matt, this is Colleen from Chicago.
Hey, Colleen.
And I had emailed you today, or yesterday, I think, and you emailed me back.
Yes.
My question was revolving around as a result of being on the Manhandle call last week.
Yes, let me pull that up. You had a great question. Would you like me to read it, or would you like to summarize it?
I don't know if you need to read the whole thing, but just to summarize, my situation personally, I'm in my 40s, and I'm having a big issue with the texting. And on the man panel, there were two girls that had asked questions about texting, and I thought it was interesting because in one of the scenarios, the guys were like, oh, you know, if a guy really wants to take you out, you know, he's going to make the plan, he's going to, you know, want to please you, he's going to, you know, call you and ask you out, which I was like, okay, good, that's what I agree with. I don't think a guy should be texting you to ask you out, especially on a first date, you know, not after maybe you've gone out a few times, that's different. But then the second call, same kind of thing, where she was trying to figure out, like, how to respond to texting, and you and the guys were kind of coaching her on, like, I literally envisioned in my head, like, you know, the rabbit in the hole and how you were trying to coax him out of the hole to make a move. And I thought, well, I don't understand that. I don't think we should have to do that. If we truly believe in the theory that they're going to make it happen if they really want to be with you.
That's a great question. I can absolutely see where, you know, it gets confusing, you know. And I think the thing to remember is that, you know, we talk about the man code and we talk about guidelines and principles, and it's always important to remember that everybody is unique. They're a unique mixture of their history and their beliefs and their patterns and their experiences, and so one of the great faculties that you've been gifted is the faculty of intuition. And you will have a sense, a knowing of how to be with this person. And the cool part is, and I think this is also an important and hopefully inspiring point, is that we don't have to be perfect to have this fantastic relationship ignite in our lives. You know, I screwed up many, many times with Irene, kicking her in the butt, doing things inappropriately, like getting in trouble, you know, and that's part of being in a relationship is that we're going to have compassion for each other and that we're a soft place to fall for one another. And that's going to start right up front when you're with the right person. So in the case of the men, you know, for those who weren't on this call, the scenario was there was a woman who was a CEO, you know, this is like an entrepreneur, business owner woman, and she was talking with this, it was a younger man. And so he was asking her out. He was saying, hey, I would love to go out with you, sending her text messages that said, I would love to go out with you, but he would never set the date. And so in this particular instance, he is pursuing her. He's the guy saying, I want to go out with you. But he just doesn't quite have the understanding or the awareness to ask her out. So what we were suggesting she would do is have some phrases where she could say, great, I would love that. Where would you like to take me? Or when would you like to take me out? And then throw the ball back in his court and let him make the plan, invite him to step up and make the plan. And by doing that, she's proactively being feminine, right? She's proactively receiving and still allowing him to take the lead. And also, she's testing the waters. You know, she may have gotten no response after that. He may have just been full of hot air. You know, or he may have stepped up to the plate and said, great, I would love to take you out this Friday. Let's go and get some food. So does that make sense how, you know, she's basically kind of meeting him where he needs to be met, you know, and he's younger. He's probably intimidated by her.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And, you know, I'm trying not to be so hard and fast on that rule, but in that scenario, you're right, the guy was younger, but I think I even said in my email, I'm in my 40s. Guys that I'm dating my age, you know, we come from a place way before there was email and texting.
Right.
And so I'm trying to figure out who told guys that that's appropriate. Like for a first date, whatever happened to picking up the phone and having that conversation?
Well, why don't we do this? A much more empowering question is, how can you receive the experience you want in a relationship? Mm-hmm. Have you had problems with guys asking you out via text? Or not problems, but have you experienced that, guys asking you out on first date via text?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so what you can do is when you go out on your first date, again, these are simply, we all have hidden expectations, right? Mm. You have an expectation that he asks you out via the phone. And I agree. I think it's much more romantic to ask someone out in person on the phone, you know, with the voice. However, we also need to be fluid in knowing that there are no rules around this. You know, guys have been told by some of their girlfriends that they're hanging out with that they like getting a text message because they can say no easier. It doesn't put them in an awkward place than
on
the phone.
Well, and that's what I wonder sometimes too. That was part of my point to you in the email, was that I'm starting to wonder if that's part of it.
Sure.
It's easier for them too, right, to get a rejection.
Yeah.
Text.
It's easier for them to get the rejection.
Right.
It's easier for you to reject. So there's
right. But I also go, well, then I don't know if I want a guy that's that insecure and passive. You know what I mean?
Well, I would do this.
I'm gonna fall into that bucket, but
Here it's very important that you use your intuition to find out, hey, is this someone that I should go out with, and not get judgmental too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Really hold this space of open compassion, fluid. I call this love abundance. You know, when we hone our mind in, and we get very judgmental and critical and start picking people apart really early on from the get-go, that's scarcity. You know, but when we open ourselves up and are very loving and accepting and fluid, and it doesn't mean you have to go on lots of dates with this guy, but you tune in, you say, you know what, maybe I don't know this guy 100%, and he seems like a great guy via his profile or however you guys are connecting, if he's texting you or the conversations you've had, I'm going to give it a shot and just see how it goes. And then if it kicks off and you guys have a great time, then you can say, you know what, you know, call me crazy, I'm kind of old-fashioned, I really don't like the text thing, so can I ask you for a favor? Great phrase to use for a man. Can I ask for your help? You know, I would say, can I ask you for a favor? And he's like, sure. And he's like, if you want to take me out, just give me a ring on the phone. I would love to go out with you, but if you want to ask me out, just give me a ring on the phone versus text, because I find that way more attractive.
Yeah, and actually that's what I have done before, and it's either, you know, they're receptive to it or they just keep doing the texting, and then I just kind of go, okay, I tried. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's a great indicator that they don't hold the same values that you do in that realm, and they're not hearing you either. So I think, but I'm glad you brought that up, because that state of love abundance is huge when attracting the man that you want to be with. Men can feel, just like that story, for those of you who heard my story about me being critical of women and that being the cause for why I was single for so long, men can feel that too. It's the same way. You know, but when you're loving and accepting yourself and you're finding the good, you know, energy flows where our attention goes. So if your first instinct is to find the good in a man, to look for the good, let that be the habitual practice versus looking for what's missing or what's wrong. And you'll find that it puts you in a different state and starts to attract the men that have those qualities into your life.
Got it. Thank
you. Awesome.
Thanks,
Colleen. All right. Well, we are at just over the end of the hour, so I want to really appreciate those of you who asked questions and helped to drive this conversation, because that's really where I personally think the juiciest content comes from is I have a high regard for the work that you've done already, for your experiences, for your wisdom, and so I love for this to be a platform for sharing and learning and growing and getting into some great content. So I hope you heard some things that really can forward you and expand your heart. And I want to appreciate you for being on this call. And the next event we're going to have is a man panel after hours. And also, very soon, I'm going to be sending all of you an interview I did with an expert on the art of sensuality. So you're going to hear that very soon. Her name is Pamela Madsen. It was a great expert interview. So that's going to be – look for that in your inbox also. But I hope you guys have a great night, and I will be talking to you very soon. Take care, everybody.